This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. How we doing, everybody? We appreciate you dropping on by. Tons to get to this morning on the show in 20 minutes. Canadian Bacone. 2 game 7s last night in the NHL. Game 7s galore all weekend. On ice, it's pucks and puns. And 2 overtime ending men. That's in 20 minutes. In 40 minutes, one Major League Baseball ace. His focus might be a little overboard. But we begin in the Western Conference, Game 7 in Phoenix. So in this series, the home team has won every game and easily. And so the Phoenix Suns returning home for Game number 7. They are the one seed. They had the best record in all of basketball by a long shot, 64 wins. That's the most wins of the NBA in 5 years. And had just absolutely drummed the Mavs in the 3 games prior to this in Phoenix, had everything set up for them. That even though Dallas had pushed this to a game number 7, Suns fans felt good being at home, a team that went all the way to the NBA Finals last year, and insisted that this was the year they were going to finish the job, that they had a one-track mind all season. And I had completely bought in. I saw a different edge to Devin Booker this year than I've seen in previous years. That last season's run to the NBA Finals had given him, I think, a thirst, an edge, a confidence of here's how you seize games. Here's how you become a star. Here's how you plant your flag in history. These moments. And I think he learned a lot from Chris Paul. That entire team drew a lot from CP3's experience and leadership last year. And this year in the regular season, they took no nights off. They came to play every single night with a purpose. And then the first round happened against the Pelicans, and the Pels got a couple of games in there, but you kind of just felt as though, well, you know, so what? The Suns are kind of going through the motions a little bit against an 8 seed, no big deal. And then they get into the second round against the Mavs, and they completely obliterate Dallas in the first 2 games in Phoenix, and you're thinking, okay, yep, we're good. And then the next 2 games happen in Dallas, and the Suns aren't really competitive. And that's weird because they're the one seed. and they're supposedly on a mission, and they lose those two games badly in Dallas, and Luke is going for crazy points, and you're like, well, that's weird. Ultimately, they'll win the series, but, you know, you should take care of business a little quicker than that. They win game five easily. Probably close in Dallas. But something is amiss because starting in game number four, Chris Paul is not good. He's turning the ball over a lot. He's fouling out of games. He's not taking a lot of shots. He's not facilitating. And something is really off about Chris Paul. And I talked about this quite a bit last week. I said, one of two things is happening with Chris Paul. Either he's injured and not talking about it, or at 37 years old in a long playoff run last year, he's really worn down and he's got nothing left of the tank because he is not playing anywhere close to what he's played last year in the playoffs or over the course of this regular season. But again, game seven at home, they've totally dominated the Mavs in the three games in Phoenix. Game seven at home, you feel fine. You're 6-point favorites. Hard to imagine the Suns don't win that basketball game. And not only did they not win, they didn't show up.
Ball deflected by Biombo, picked up by Crowder, Booker behind his back, and Finney Smith just took it right away from him. Here comes Brunson, left elbow, to the trailing Finney Smith, left wing, cross-court Bullock, catch and shoot, right corner, three is good. The first points of the game for Reggie Bullock, the 13th three for the Mavericks. They're up 75-34, 41 points.
You play long enough and you don't win. Every time you lose, they're going to say it was your best chance. But I think for me, us, is we'll be right back next year. Tell you that much. I'm not retiring tomorrow. Thank God. You know, hopefully I'm healthy, come back, but keep playing.
That was Chris Paul after the game. And that was Mavs radio on the call when the lead ballooned to 40 points. The Mavs, quote, only won by 33 because they brought in all of the backups into this game late. And they still won by 33 points. I couldn't believe, like many of you, what we were watching. At one point, the Mavs went on the road in a game seven against the defending Western Conference champions and led by 46 points. So I want to talk about Luka, I want to talk about the Mavs, and I want to talk about the Suns because these are three different stories, okay? From a Suns standpoint, this couldn't be more humiliating. And it begs the question whether they were just paper champions the entire season. It begs the question whether they actually really had what it took to win a championship. Because you know what? Taking on the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals was not going to be an easy task. They were going to be pushed. And whoever comes out of the East is going to be a bear. Both the Heat and the Celtics play lockdown defense. They're deep. They're both well-coached. It was not going to be easy to win an NBA championship this year, even though the Suns won 64 games. So it makes you wonder whether the regular season, they were a little fugazi, a little fraudulent, and that when it really came to the tough stuff, the tough nuts in the playoffs, they just did not have it, which is weird because I think back to some of the great regular season teams that flamed out in the postseason. The Sonics did this in 1994. There were other paper champions that regular season, they ran away with the one seed, but then just couldn't get it done to the playoffs, except those teams almost always didn't have any prior playoff success. You'd regularly see teams like the Mavs when they were the one seed and they had not really done anything prior, and then they got to the playoffs and realized, oh my God, it's a different type of speed, and then they just can't match it. But the Suns had just done this last year, the same exact team. So it is jarring that they were just completely no-show. Now, the reason is twofold. This brings me to my other two angles on this. I think the first part is Chris Paul set the tone for this team every single day since he's gotten there. And because he sucked the last four games of the series, they started to suck as well. And this was a moment where Devin Booker had to take the baton. Paul has not had it since game two, really. Maybe game three, but I mean, it's been a while. And Devin Booker had to sense that and go, you know what? We can't rely on 37-year-old Chris Paul. It's got to be on me. And Devin Booker was trash last night. Absolute trash. So he's the best player on that team, even with Chris Paul. And he was hot a garbage. So that's a huge problem, and that goes onto Booker's shoulders. Last night, Devin Booker, 3 of 14 shooting, 0 of 4 from the field for 11 points. Come on, you're the star. That can't happen at home in a game 7. That was the first part. The second part was that the Mavs made him quit. The Mavs made him quit, and more specifically, Luka made him quit. And now let's get into the Luka part of this discussion. Stop the presses, pause the keyboards, quit the hot takes for a moment. This is not even arguable. This is Luka's coming out moment. Now, it's not like he hasn't been great before this. Not like he hasn't had great playoff performances before this. But for the first time, in a critical playoff game, Luka's execution melted the other team. Prior to this, Luka could be great, but the opposing team said, we can match it. We're deeper. We're better. Luka's a one-man show. This was the moment where Luka's mere presence melted the opponent in a big spot. The Suns saw Doncic doing anything that he wanted, spacing the floor, hitting his guys with passes, and them hitting shots, and the Suns couldn't respond. And it beat them down. I mean, really, after the first quarter, the game was over. That Luka had snatched their souls in the first quarter. He had silenced the crowd. And there were slumped shoulders, faraway gazes. All of the Suns looking around like, what happened? Where are we? What planet are we on? He had snatched their souls. I mean, it was so obvious that because Luka's execution was so good early and the Suns' execution was so poor that they lost all fight. They lost all battle. They lost all compete. It was just out the door. It floated out the door into the desert. It was wild. And Luka might not be the best player in the NBA, but it ain't long. Not long. Luka Doncic has this amazing array of skills. He is athletic. He is agile. He's got great footwork. He shoots well. He's a great passer. He's a big body. He's a rebounder. And he's just thicker than you think he is. You know, he can step with that right leg, plant, and just throw his butt into you, and he moves you off the block. You know, he plays like a point guard. He shoots like a shooting guard. But he plants down low like Barkley. You know, his thighs are big. His lower center of gravity is thick. You can't move him off those spots. So, you know, you try to block him. You try to rough him up. He bullies you. And he's got like the Magic Johnson array of passing and shooting and floor general ability. So he's just an impossible nightmare. But there's another thing about Luka. Swagger. Luka, there's that play that has gone viral from the other night where Luka's trying to give the ball to the official and Devin Booker kind of comes in, pops it out of his hands and like grabs it for himself. And Luka looks at him and goes, man, like basically bleep you, man. And like walks away nodding and said, like, okay, that's how this is. Okay, I got you. Okay. And then just goes out to destroy you. You know, there's such a confidence he carries himself with that the entire team feeds off of. And last night he was asked, and this stat is just stupefying. At halftime, Luka Doncic had scored 27 points, the same as the Suns as a team. He was asked after the game, were you aware that you had scored as many points at halftime as the Suns had as a team? And he said, yeah, of course I was, and laughed. He's there to hunt you. He is there to beat you, and he's going to take great glee in it. He knows how good he is. And look, sometimes I think that's probably run him into some issues. I think sometimes early in his career, it was about, you know, maybe some ego and it runs through me and maybe a slightly uncoachable, and him and Carlisle obviously butted heads. But now that's grown into a weapon, a force. And Spencer Dinwiddie scores 30 points last night off the bench. And Dinwiddie was asked, you know, what that role is like to kind of be that third option. And he says, well, it depends. He goes, you know, when I come in and Luka's on the bench, yeah, it's up to me to kind of keep the offense going, but I'm not going to step on any toes here. He said, but last night, Luka told him, go get it, go get it. And he's like, man, when I hear from Luka, go get it, I'm going to go get it. So Luka's also the traffic cop, teaching his guys, coaching his guys, here's what you need to do, and emboldening them. Tour de force. Tour freaking de force. He's outrageous. Last night, Luka had 35 points and 10 rebounds. The game was out of hand as of halftime. I mean, if that was a close game, Luka scores 50. On the road against a 64-win team in a Game 7. It's his moment. That's it. He's now finally arrived in full in the postseason. We'll see if the Mavs can get past the Warriors. I give him a shot at doing so because I don't think the Warriors are the dominant Warriors of yesteryear, and we saw what the Grizzlies were able to do to them. But either way, Luka going to a Game 7 on the road at the number one seed and basically just melting them in the first quarter was the arrival. That's it, and now we're going to get deep playoff runs for a long time, assuming they support him correctly. But look, Spencer Dinwiddie's been a solid addition. Jalen Brunson's turned into a very good addition for them. Finney Smith has hit a couple of big shots. Bullock has hit a couple of big shots. They probably need one more guy, but maybe not if they win an NBA championship. We keep saying they need one more guy, but they're 8 wins for an NBA title, so maybe they don't need one more guy. That's the basketball side of things. How about the weekend in hockey? Phenomenal. Two blowouts in basketball yesterday. Two overtime game sevens in hockey. We'll do a little pucks and puns. Coming up next, Canadian Bacon. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sizzle of the best goals.
Sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man.
The saltiness of the best games.
God, we're having a good time.
We crave the nightly action of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a hockey, you know, it's only game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
I feel alive!
Well, the pressure's been ratcheted up to an unbelievable degree because last week, Pat Boyle and Connor Green both delivered tremendous episodes of Canadian Bacon. In fact, the now mythical 4.5 oinks is the new high watermark set last Tuesday by Pat Boyle. The squeals of the oinks have become a household hobby for everybody across the country. And Mraz returns from a week away at a water park with half of a voice and multiple overtime game seven. So, again, expectations are high. Mraz, take it away.
DA, it is good to be back. In fact, today we will call this Back Bacon. Off a weekend that featured five game sevens and the first time in NHL history, two game sevens went to overtime on the same day. Editor's note here, the Oilers did get past the Kings in their game seven, and we will touch on the Maple Leafs later in the show who fell to the Lightning. But first, the city of Boston, the long championship-deprived city of Boston, was fortunate enough to have two franchises playing in game sevens this weekend. On Saturday, the Bruins headed down to Carolina and were pushed to the max by Domi, who had two goals as the Hurricanes blew past the Bruins and ended their season. After the game, longtime Bruins captain Patrice Bergeron waited on the ice and shook every referee's hand and hugged every teammate. The impending free agent's career may be coming to a close. Will he retire or will he stand pat?
No, it's too early right now, you know, and we not after, you know, it's too fresh right now. You know, it still stings, obviously, from, you know, hot fought series and, you know, came up short. So, obviously, I'm going to have to think about it, but I'm not there right now.
The champion Bergeron and these Bruins may be broken up in this offseason. We shall see. But on, DA, to the two game sevens on Sunday. Your goal of the night. The Penguins were looking to avoid a 3-1 series collapse. In fact, nugget here, going into last night, the Rangers were 3-0 in game sevens in series they trailed 3-1 to start. An unbelievable, remarkable run. For the second time in 8 years, could the Rangers do this to the Pittsburgh Penguins? They got off to an early start as Chris cried the Penguins a three rivers with the opening goal. Pittsburgh, though, would get a bit of puck luck, including a controversial goal that should have been touched by a high stick, probably was touched by a high stick, and a shorthanded goal to give them a 3-2 lead entering the third period. With 5 minutes and change left, Mika Zibanejad blasted in a tying goal to force overtime. A holding penalty was called on the Penguins as it was almost Keandre Miller time on a breakaway. This opened the door for the Rangers to be presented with an Artemi Award.
Panarin controlling, feeds Fox. Now Panarin goes in. He shoots. He scores!
Sam Rosen on MSG Network. Yes, Artemi Panarin, sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man. The Rangers will take on Carolina in a game one on Wednesday night versus a Hurricane team that features six ex-Rangers. Now, on to our player of the night. The city of Dallas, another town to have two teams playing game sevens this weekend. Only both of their teams would be on the road and on at the same time last night. It was a good night on the hardwood, as you just talked about with the Mavs, and it looked like it may be a good night on the ice as Jamie Benaire done that, scored the opening goal. The Flames would tie it early in the second period, but Dallas answered right back with a goal to take a 2-1 lead. The Stars were done shining, though, as Calgary got a game-tying goal in the third to force overtime. In overtime, Johnny be good.
Here's Lindholm to Gaudreau. Near quarter to Kachuk. Behind the net to Gaudreau. He walks in front and drops. Lindholm shoots it up. Sure. Makes a right shoulder save. Gaudreau scores!
sea of red erupts.
Johnny Gaudreau, sing us a song. You too are the overtime ending man. The Stars' season goes up in flames, and Calgary advances to take on their bitter, hated rival, the Oilers, in round two as they remain the two lone Canadian teams left standing, and that will have that entire country buzzing. DA, that is your Canadian back bacon.
That sounded like a quarter. Is that a quarter oink?
Oh, it was a half.
It was a half oink. Wow, okay. 3.5. Okay. 3.5 oinks for Mraz's return from vacation. All right, guys. Well, we'll start with you, Mr. Bogues. What'd you think about the return?
So I would have given him a 4. I would have went higher than the 3.5. I think I would have graded up for him pushing through the scrotum water issues with the throat. So I think that was because there were some lines in there that were as good as any that Sean's delivered. Plus, I thought his storytelling was more on point. Maybe he listened to some of our points from last week where this was written better. It was understandable. Maybe the voice trying to protect it actually helped keeping him from getting too excited, which might have led to those delivery issues and the execution issues. But I do want a ruling because one of the themes of last week, as Sean protested from afar over Boyle and Connor Green, was about format and structure. And I was under the impression Canadian bacon was just about the night before, but we began on Saturday. And I don't know, because I didn't know all the rules last week, so I don't know the rules on that today, but I do need a ruling on that.
I'm going to allow it.
Okay.
I'm going to allow it because I think that the story of the weekend was all of the game sevens, and this is a Monday. If this was Tuesday and he was using Monday and Sunday stuff, but he was kind of recapping the weekend that was, this is the first bacon after all of those sevens.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's appropriate. I'm with you. There was some good writing in there. The Artemi Award might be his best line ever.
Yeah.
I thought the Artemi Award was one of the most clever lines Mraz has ever had. Jamie, been there, done that. Very good.
Yep.
Johnny B. Good. Pat Boyle had that last week.
And he sang it.
And better.
And he sang it, yeah.
He said, go, Johnny, go, go. Johnny B. Good. Dro. He said, good, Dro.
I was unaware Pat did that. I didn't listen to any Canadian Bacons because I didn't want it in my head.
Stars season goes up in flames.
Wait, don't let that. You did listen because you critiqued Boyle. You responded.
The first one, Monday. I didn't hear that on Monday.
Okay, but you just said you didn't listen to any, but you did.
I meant,
you listened on Monday.
Right.
Okay.
The rest of the week. I had no idea what happened. I'm baking the rest of the week.
Stars season, go up in flames, good. Chris, cry me a river, pretty good.
Cry me three rivers.
Yeah.
For cry me three rivers.
I like that one.
That's good.
Cried me three rivers.
Okay, we gave it to you.
He can't get a 4 here. In fact, Pete was too nice to him at a 3.5.
Really?
This is a 3. It wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. Mraz, this is the thing.
Okay.
Canadian bacon is meant to be whimsical. It is meant to be a fun recap of the night before. I think it was because you were protecting your voice.
Probably true. Although I was trying to focus on the writing this time.
And your writing was better. No doubt about it. But Mraz's signature is that it's goofy and fun. Right? I mean, Boyle's signature was tighter writing. Connor's signature is thoroughly sarcastic. Mraz's signature is it's fun and whimsical. And there was nothing fun about this. We didn't. None of us laughed. There was no singing.
That's true.
It's a 3.
We did not laugh. You're right. I think. And last week
he did a better job of recapping the sports. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
You could follow it. You're right about that. But a 4 is reserved for us actually laughing, I would say.
No, that's a good point, and I did hold it against Boyle once last week where it just didn't have any pizzazz
to
it.
His last one on Friday, we all said wasn't very good. Or no, Thursday.
Yeah, the Thursday one.
Because we're like, we weren't even really laughing. It wasn't very fun.
But this is where the oinks and squeals have gotten in my head. I heard what happened on Monday. I heard that it was a lot of, hey, writing, Mraz, writing. The writing is what it's all about. The format. Don't be so long-winded with your sentences. A lot of what makes me fun and whimsical is the long-winded journey I take you on. So if you're going to give four squeals and over four squeals and how many years ago to everybody else for that, then don't come in here on Monday when I'm giving you that and then tell me you shouldn't deserve four squeals. If you want the whimsical journeys, I'll go back to giving you the whimsical journeys that I can't be getting two squeals.
There's a balance here, though. There's a balance. You did a really good job on clever writing in this one, but then you got to add your personality to it.
Now, again, it's my own fault.
I can't sing. The thing is, we always love singing around here.
I can't get the voice up to sing.
Yeah.
And that's, that's on me. So if that's where I'm getting knocked, and maybe it's a voice protection thing, then fine. Then I need to be this writing with whimsicality when the voice returns.
I think so. Let's go to Pete. Your thoughts on 3.5.
Part of it was raised because of working hurt. I thought that's
he's a play through injury.
Play through injury. That's very important.
So you rewarded him for that.
Yeah, and then knowing this, you have to change kind of the scale of how you're evaluating things. So it's more of, as we would say, run the ball. So it's more of him running the ball.
That's a fair point.
It's more of him running the ball, but the writing, we've talked about it, was probably his best writing he's had.
I think so.
So that's a big plus. I thought you had a lot to cover. There's a lot to talk about, and especially this weekend with a lot of Game 7s, you need more description, which is what he gave you. You need more of a recap.
So what didn't he do so that you
It was
get...
what we talked about, what you talked about.
It wasn't very fun.
I wasn't expecting him to be, Frank Sinatra here and sing, because he has no voice. So it wasn't as fun as it should be.
It wasn't any fun.
Yeah. Right. It wasn't as fun as it should be, but the writing was clever to a point.
Okay.
And it had information.
You know what? You sold me on it. You're right. It's a 3.5.
Yeah, it had information.
You're right. It's an honorable effort when you're playing hurt. He deserves credit for that. It's better writing than we've usually heard from him. If you can get the Mraz humor and the singing, it can get to 4, 4.25. Now, the mythical 4.5, we'll see if we could ever match again. That might just be once in a million. But that's true. You give him a 3.5, full voice, he can get to a 4, really make us laugh, a 4.25. Mythical 4.5, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I've always looked at myself as the Katy Perry of this panel, like American Idol. Uh-huh. And I feel like she's not, like when she gives notes and the singers take those notes and put them to good use, she's happy. And I thought Sean listened to some of our critiques from last week, whether he heard them directly or they were retold to him after the fact. Like, he tried to be better in the way that we wanted him to, and I thought he was, so that's why maybe I skewed a little too positive for him. But this was, again, like, structurally, technical merit, this is pretty good.
Well, right now the D'Aliens are all over the map here, okay? Because Steven tweets, Mraz nailed Canadian bacon. I'd give him a 4.25, especially the Miller timeline, hashtag Team Mraz. But then Skipper Tim says, I didn't laugh once. It was just a recap of the games. It was basically a CBS Sports Minute. That's it. Two squeals for a lack of comedy. So it's a wide breadth here of how the listeners feel.
And I think, those are clearly the outliers, because it wasn't a 2 and it wasn't a 4.25.
Right.
It can't, even I'm probably still too high at a 4, but you certainly can't cross the 4 threshold without a laugh.
Look, I listen to you guys. I am trying to do what you guys want. Now, if you're asking me to take that and combine it with the whimsical nature, this is a building block. But then if I do that, I better not be coming back to 3.5 squeals again.
No, because I think if you take sharp, tight writing and add singing and humor, that's what we're looking for.
Right.
Well, you're going to get it. I'm just telling you right now, you're going to get it.
Don't get defensive.
No.
Don't get defensive.
You better be ready on the oinkhorns. I'm telling you right now, because you're going
to
get it.
The 3.5 should be a big compliment to you. Don't get defensive on that.
That's true. With half a voice, you still got 3.5.
Now, here's also what I have working for me. No hockey tonight. I got a day to rest on the bacon. Mm-hmm. Come back Wednesday with the next bacon.
That's good.
You guys better be ready to hit the oinks, all right?
Stop telling me to hit the oinks.
I'm going to tell you to hit the oinks.
Stop it.
I'm going to tell you to hit the oinks.
Stop it right now.
The oinks are coming. Tighter writing is here. Clever lines are here.
Here we go.
And this, sing-song, he's coming back.
This is the problem. He tries to sell everything before he goes on the air with it. Just let it
a little
be.
A little disappointed, the 3.5
So what whimsy did you leave out today to focus on the writing? Because now you're presenting it as if you left that stuff on the cutting room floor.
Okay, so I if you want to go inside the cutting
table.
Yeah,
give me the director's cut.
I was going to go very John Sterling with Goudreau and tell you it was a Johnny Rocket. I subdued myself just to say Johnny be good. And I was going to get really into the, you know, it's a Johnny, you know, boom. I was going to hit you with a little bit of that.
All right. Relax. I mean, that's
also, next. I eliminated, I will tell you right now, on the Bergeron, I eliminated two lines because I thought you guys would grade me down on being too long. I ended up going, will he retire or will he stand pat? My lines were going to be, is his career Bergeron or Bergeroff?
Mm. Oh.
I eliminated
that. Than Stan
me
Pat.
Too.
I think you could have cut out Stan Pat and used that one.
Yeah.
See, I eliminated that because it feels like stuff. What does that even mean? What does Bergeron mean? What does Bergeroff? So I played you guys in my head, and I went delete, delete, delete. And then my other one was, does it stand to Patrician that he will have another career? And I said, you know what? That's terrible. You guys are going to kill me on that. I knocked that out.
What am I missing on
He's
that one?
I was trying to say stand to reason.
But Patrice.
Oh, yeah, good. That's, that was a smart edit.
Thank God you asked that. That's terrible.
That was left on a... Oh.
Did you see him? By the way, I meant to mention this. When he delivered the Stan Pat line, he really, like, stood up, like, I looking for that. A reaction. He's like, or will he Stan Pat? He was like, you guys heard that? Stan Pat? You guys like that?
Hello?
Like,
Hello?
Really wanted immediate Hello? Affirmation for that one.
And if you want singing, there was one song that was going to be sung today.
Okay.
And it was going to be sung win or loss, so it's kind of a cheapie for me. I was going to give you a spinoff of the deep in the heart of Texas with a deep in the heart of Dallas. Like, send him back deep in the heart of Dallas. But
I don't know. I told Pat.
I don't know.
Yeah. I told Pat last week, look, we like singing. You need more singing. And so I got to be honest. I got to be fair here. I think you need more singing. That might not have been great.
All right. So see what I mean, though? This is all tightening up I did to try to elevate the game.
Look, you're missing. Look, you're missing one line. Maybe you have it for later. With Patrice.
Well, thankfully, that season's over, so we're done with those.
Well, there was a perfect line there that no one used. So, with Patrice.
Which was?
Patrice Rushen, the singer.
Who?
Something with that. She's.
Who is that?
PA knows.
Okay.
Who gets that?
I don't.
Yeah, maybe most
you
of
know,
the
You've heard the song. If.
Oh, please. Yeah. This is the guy giving out oinks. If I gave you a Patrice Rushen line. I mean,
sing the song.
Splat would be all over me.
The person's name.
Okay. Well, I think what Pete said is right. You ran the ball, and that was what you needed to do today because you were playing hurt. Banged up offensive line. You didn't want to get your quarterback killed. You got out with a 3.5. Still
right.
Healthy.
The writing's tight.
Yeah.
Be ready for Wednesday.
Stop. Please stop. Stop selling it. Just do it.
Okay.
Lord almighty.
Okay, Bogues has headlines.
The Bucks wanted to protect the rim, forced the Celtics to hit threes in their series. It worked well enough to lead that series 3-2, but then Boston won game 6 in Milwaukee and then drilled 22 from downtown yesterday afternoon. Grant Williams hit 7 of them, matching the game 7 record.
For me, it was just like, all right, they're encouraging it. Like, might as well take advantage. So each one, as time went on, got more comfortable, kept shooting, and then it was fine. But it's just great that we got a win.
Williams finished with a career-high 27 points. Jason Tatum threw in 23 despite foul trouble in a 109-81 series ender. The C's hit 18 more threes than the Bucks yesterday, 53 more than them in the series. Now game 1 of the Eastern Conference Final in Miami tomorrow night. The Mavericks have an extra day to prep for the Warriors after crushing the Suns in their game 7 in Phoenix, 123-90. The lead was 57-27 at halftime, with Luka scoring 27 by himself.
Today was just incredible. I never seen a performance on game 7 like this. I can't remember when was the last time somebody went to the away game and did this. So I'm really proud of what we did today.
I saw a graphic for a split second last night. I believe this is the third or fourth biggest game 7 rout in NBA history.
Yeah, I think it was the third largest route in Game 7 history.
The lead as large as 46, again in a 123-90 final. Doncic had 35. Spencer Dinwiddie had 30, making them the first teammates since Shaq and Kobe in 02 to have 30-plus in a Game 7.
Did Spencer Dinwiddie ever think he was going to be on a graphic with Shaq and Kobe?
Well, he had a zero-point game earlier in the series when they got behind. Everyone was like, you know, give Luka some help, and now he puts in 30 last night.
Amazing.
And again, Game 1, Mavs-Warriors is Wednesday night in San Francisco. Drew Brees denying a New York Post story that he's leaving NBC after just one season.
Brees, he denies it?
Brees tweeting that he's mulling his options. He could stay at NBC. Could play again, or he could play professional pickleball.
No, he didn't say play again.
He did. He listed about 9 things that he could do.
I'm weighing my options. Yeah, they don't want you back.
Well, and the story began with him wanting to do games, which NBC doesn't have for him, which is why he was leaving.
They won't even give him Notre Dame games.
Right.
But the story says he might be Fox's number one guy this year.
As a hold until Brady retires, and then they would drop Brees down.
Unless he was good enough and they made it a 3-man booth.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he'll be great. I'm sure that's exactly what you need.
He couldn't handle Bengals Raiders at 4:30 on Saturday.
Maybe starting a USFL. Call that.
Yeah. Yeah, Fox is going to be must-see TV with Brees on your number one games.
Olsen better?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
The Cardinals smoked the Giants last night 15-6 in their rubber game on Sunday Night Baseball. Albert Pujols finished the blowout on the mound, his pitching debut. He allowed 2 homers, 4 RBI. The 42-year-old is the oldest player to debut on the mound since White Sox player manager Lena Blackburn put himself on the mound in his final game way back in 1929.
Lena Blackburn?
Who knew? Lena, L-E-N-A. How else would you pronounce that, right? Not Lena, but yeah. Why not? Had the power, put himself on the mound, pitched an inning on his way out.
Okay.
The current White Sox took a 5-1 home loss from the Yankees yesterday afternoon. The Bombers have won 18 of 21. It is 12 of 13 for the Astros, an 8-0 win in Washington. D.A., back to you.
Russell Aubrey Lena Blackburn lived between 1886 and 1968, an American baseball infielder, manager, coach, and scout. Best known for the creation of the baseball rubbing mud, used to remove the finish on new baseballs and give better grip and control to the pitcher. The great Russell Aubrey Lena Blackburn.
You're welcome for the introduction. It's my pleasure.
He invented spider tech.
Really?
Thank God for Garrett Cole then, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Only managed 2 seasons. Went 40-40 with the White Sox in 1928, lost 93 games in 29.
So they fired somebody, gave Lena the gig, and it got worse.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Let me come back on the show. Speaking of baseball, one ace is a little too intense on the mound. Blocked a ceremonial first pitch from an ambassador from a different country. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Wrong messenger. Right message. Understand that. Idiots.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Glad you're with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us on this fine radio program. You can also watch this fine radio program. It's also visual at watchda.com as well as on Twitch. Go to the CBS Sports Radio channel there. So on Friday night, Max Scherzer is on the mound for the Mets. In fact, I was at this game against the Seattle Mariners. And as he's throwing his warm-up pitches, the guy who's coming out for the ceremonial first pitch is trying to walk over to the mound to throw, and Scherzer will not get off the mound to allow him to do so. Scherzer just keeps throwing his warm-up pitches, won't even look at the guy. Ultimately, the guy has to slink away because Scherzer is so locked in the zone. And so this dude has to throw his, quote, ceremonial first pitch from the side of the mound as Scherzer's still throwing. It turns out this dude that got blocked by Scherzer is Mikio Mori, a Japanese ambassador and Consul General of Japan. He was in the ballpark because it was Japanese Heritage Night. It was 150 years since baseball was introduced to Japan. So they were trying to honor him. He was in town for Japan Day the next day in New York City. And Scherzer won't let him on the mound. Now, I got to tell you, I don't blame Scherzer at all here. I really don't. And people will come off and say, God, can't you just lighten up? Let the guy throw a first pitch, get back on the mound. What's the big deal? You make $40 million a year. And my point would be, you make $40 million a year, you only get 35 starts. You should be locked in for those 35 starts. You're not an everyday player. An everyday player can be lackadaisical. He can chew bubble gum in the dugout, put the rally cap on, whatever. But starting pitchers, aces, making that much money do need to be locked in. This is the fault of the scheduler, the organizer, the on-field events guy that doesn't realize, yeah, Scherzer's on the mound tonight. He ain't stepping off for you, so let's get your ceremonial first pitch in at like 6:30. Let's make sure we get this in before Scherzer's even dressed so that there's no problem. But I'm sure they wanted people in the stands for it. They probably timed it up for the same amount of time that other people get and other pitchers get. Maybe they also, maybe this guy was running late or something. And you just got to be like, once he's on the mound, that's it. In fact, I would have waited until the middle of the inning. Don't even bother trying to nudge Scherzer off that mound. He's making $40 million. That's like $1.5 million per start. Be locked in. And he was great on Friday night. Gave up just a run. They still end up losing, but it wasn't his fault.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.